Amen. Wonderful. All right, let me just say while I'm getting up here that it's been good to be here. And we're grateful that you've come. And every night some of you here, and we're grateful for that. Praise the Lord for His goodness and mercy to us. Food's been great. Fellowship can't be beat. And we're just grateful for all the Lord has done for us and is doing. Turn your Bibles, if you would, this morning with me to the book of Luke, chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, you say, preacher, what kind of message is this going to be? We're just going to have to wait on the Lord and see. But I trust it'll be what will be meet for the hour as far as what would bring about the concern, the care, the burden that we all need if we're saved and going to heaven ourselves. Be terrible to go to heaven with nobody up there that we knew, wouldn't it? I mean, no friends, no family, even our foes that need to be saved. If you got up there by all alone, that'd be sad, wouldn't it? Look around, not being able to find anybody. But I see a man this morning in our text here, Luke chapter 16. He is where he's at, but he's concerned. The only thing about it is his concern's too late. His hour of grace has passed, but he gets to thinking where he's at here in our text about people that are in his own family, folks that he knows as well as anybody, and he is concerned that they not be in the place that he's in. And so the Lord Jesus, I just asked my wife, my Bible is a church Bible that they print up in Michigan. And it doesn't have the words of Jesus in red. That's the only thing I could desire. I like Bibles that have the red letter editions, they call them, that have that. And you notice, if you have a red letter edition, the entire text that we're looking at this morning is in red. In other words, these are words that came from Jesus. And I'm going to read quite a few of them with you this morning, but I just want to read two or three verses here, make our prayer, and see what the Lord would give us from His Word. You're in Luke chapter 16 with me. If you'd like to stand, you may do so. And if you don't have to, I tell you, sometimes I don't feel like standing because of the problems that like Brother Ernest has with our knees. And but I do try to do my best on that. Verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we do love you, and we thank you that we can address you. Lord God, we're on this side. That old boy that was praying this prayer and was talking to you there, he's on the other side. Lord God, we're on the road to heaven. He was already in hell when he spoke these words. So I'm praying today that you'd make us hell conscious. Help us, Lord, to see that men, women, boys, and girls, God, wherever they might be, here in America, God, in Europe, in Asia, God, in the islands, wherever they are, they need Christ. Lord, if they don't come to know Him, if somebody doesn't carry them the message, then, Lord God, they'll die and go to hell. And one day, Lord, the church, the Christians, Lord, that could have been concerned, that could have cared, will stand before in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, the judgment seat of Christ, and give an account for those things that they could have done, they should have done, that you would have them to would have done. But Lord God, that got so interested in the things of this world, the pleasures of life, and God just thinking about themselves and their little bitty four no more, Oh God, I pray, Holy Spirit, please shake us, wake us, Lord, to the fact that Jesus is coming back and that all of us are going to die. And Lord God, it may be before we want to. We don't just know when all that's going to take place. But dear God, we know that people are dying by the day. They're dying by the hour. They're dying by the weeks and the months and the years all around us. Dear God, help us, Lord, while we still have time to be conscious of that fact and do all that we can to get the gospel out. We'll praise you. Lord God, Brother Ronnie had these cards. I'm going to take one of them myself. I want to introduce them to our people. And I pray, dear God, thank you for the several missionaries we've been able to take on since we've been there. And Lord, we'd like to see our folks do more. When a man could tell me he could pay off a piece of land, dear God, that the church has bought, that he wouldn't even need to make notes. He could have done it himself. Lord, but that man probably has stores that I don't even know about of goods and money and all. Lord, just think about what gospel could go on and get out. Dear God, if we had more people that would think less about this life and think more about eternal life. And Lord God, we need that. Father, we pray that you'll help us now and bless us and strengthen and encourage your people, Lord, to let you work through them to do great and mighty things. And God, we'll praise you and thank you in Jesus' sweet name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. This boy did not believe in hell, but he's there now and he believes it.
Amen.
I said to you, he didn't believe in hell. And he died without Christ. He died without God in his life. And he's in hell. He's concerned about people that are on the way there, and he wants them to be stopped. He wants them to be helped to avoid this terrible place. I speak to you very quickly this morning on this subject, a missionary message from hell. You say, preacher, where do you get your thought from? Verse 27, then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Send him to my father's house. There's somebody that needs somebody to come to their father's house, because there is a man living there, and that man has got children somewhere in this world. Now, you may not be able to get to the father's house, but God's got somebody that he wants to send to the father's house to find out who is behind those doors. Who behind those doors needs to be saved? Who behind those doors needs to pass from death and sin where he or she is at into a new life in Christ? They're in the Father's house. And we call this the Father's house. But that man in hell called the Father's house where his loved ones, where his friends, where his family was at. Well, I wonder if you've ever thought of it that way, about the Father's house. Well, this guy sees he's in hell, and we don't know his name. Only the Bible tells us that he was rich. I wrote some things, Brother Ernest, about hell down here in my Bible. Number one, hell is a place. You say, I don't believe in it. The devil's happy. The devil's happy if you don't believe in hell, because he done got your number, and you're already on his side, and that's where you're headed to if you die without the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You said, preacher, that's pretty straight. That's pretty straight. No plainer than the Scriptures. Huh? I mean, they didn't know in between. That's a Catholic tradition that said there's a purgatory where after this life you can get your sins taken care of through some prayers and some money and what have you and all that. That's a bunch of hogwash. Ain't no more Bible than nothing there. But I say to you that hell is a place. You said, preacher, why you called it a place? Because in verse 23, and hold your Bible, then in hell, the Bible says he lift up his eyes. Lifted up his eyes. He never did that while he was in life. But now in hell, he lifts up his eyes. Hell is a place, according to verse 23, of torment. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. People in torment. You imagine your son or your daughter? Can you imagine your mama or your daddy? Can you imagine your brothers or sisters? Can you imagine your cousins there? I mean, people that your aunts and uncles there that helped raise you. Can you imagine that they die without Christ that they are in the Father's house, but not in the Heavenly Father's house. They're in their earthly Father's house somewhere. And it may not be here in America. It may be in Europe. It may be in South America. It may be in Asia. It may be in the islands out there. There's somebody behind some door somewhere that needs Jesus. And they're never going to hear unless somebody goes to the Father's house. This old boy was so concerned about him, Brother Ernest, that he said, hey, he said, get him up out of the grave, God. Let him be resurrected. And if somebody came to him from the dead, Brother Ronnie, they would believe. No, they would not believe because it would be too late then. But hey, it's not too late yet. It's not too late now. God can still find some people somewhere in some of our churches that'll care for lost people. I'm so glad somebody cared about me. I am. I'm so grateful. That dear man, he never was a preacher, but he preached. He was at 90 years of age going to the Home of Grace in Van Cleve, Mississippi, preaching at 90 years old. He died at 92. 90 years old, he was going every month, if not several times a month, he was going to that home for alcoholics and drug addicts and all there in the backwoods of Van Cleve, Mississippi, not far from where I was raised. I went with him one time, 40 drunks out there in dope heads. I'm telling you, he was telling the story of the love of Christ. Stopped me as a little paper boy about 11 or 12 years of age there. I was living with a cousin at that time and said, son, have you been born again? I didn't know what he's talking about. He was planting seed. I went to their house a couple of weeks later, Brother Ernest, there in Moss Point on Beardsley Lake. And I went there and I sat down with at breakfast. They had a little promise box. Had verses of scripture. It looked like a loaf of bread. I never will forget that. Any of you ever seen those things before? And they had that little promise box. And they was all drawing out of it. And I'm glad they didn't ask me to. I ain't never read no Bible. I ain't never heard no Bible. All I heard was Jehovah's Witness junk. Huh? But anyway, what little bit, I went to the Kingdom Hall with my grandmother. I went to First Baptist Church that same year. And the words were so stretched out, I didn't understand what the man was talking about. I mean, hey, when you tell somebody something, tell them simply. Huh? Don't use complicated language if you want them to understand. I don't know who he was impressed. He sure impressed me. I was ignorant. I mean, that's the impression they left on me. You a dummy. If you're going to get on the level and get up to my level where you can understand this dignified language, boy, you hopeless. You know, hey, make it plain. Huh? Make the gospel simple. Make it plain so the others. Hey, hell's a place of torment. Hell's a place, we find out in verse 24, of no water and no mercy. Look at it. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. You die without Jesus. Your mama, your daddy dies without Jesus. Your brothers, your sisters die without Jesus. Hey, your aunts and your uncles die without Jesus. Your cousins die without Jesus. Hey, watch it. Watch it. They in hell. They ain't even drop. Watch it. To comfort their tongue. They're there screaming, hollering, yelling, pleading, agonizing. You say, I don't believe it. Then you have no hope. You have no hope. And what even multiplies the fact that you have no hope, what hope do they have? You're the one that's still alive. You're not where this man's at right here when he's saying, Father, I pray thee that you would send somebody from the grave. Send somebody out of death. Send somebody out of hell if needs be, huh? To tell them about Jesus. Now, I'm not going to ask you to drink this after the service. This will be my water with my meal, okay? No mercy. No water I find here. It's a place of remembrance in verse 25. When this rich man who's in hell remembers all the good things that he had in this life. And he didn't even have time for that poor beggar that was at his gates there. Hey, it's a place also, and this is what's so terrible. We read that in the verse before our text, and beside all of this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. That does away with purgatory right there. I mean, that God says once you're in hell, there is no exit. Can you imagine having a son or a daughter, a brother, a sister, an aunt, or an uncle, or a cousin that's in hell? And they're screaming, and they're hollering, and they're yelling, and they want mercy, and they want water, and they want goodness, and they want grace. But they can't find it. You say, preacher, why? It's not just that they may have neglected it, they just may have never heard it, that they could get out. I mean, keep from going there where they would never be able to get out. What about it? Think about that. You say, I don't believe in it. That ain't changing nothing. Huh? The fact that you don't want to believe it just shows that you want to stay spiritually ignorant. But if we are intelligent, Miss Gibson, if we do know something, and if we do believe the Word of God, Brother Ronnie, that people that die without Christ go to a Christless eternity, and that they're in torment, and that there are literal flames that eat at their soul and their mind, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? You say, preacher, I can't go to Europe. I can't go to Asia. I can't go to South America. I can't go to Central America. I can't go to Australia. I can't go here. I can't go there and all. But are you helping somebody else to go? See, this old boy was so hell-bound, Brother Ernest, that now he's got five brothers that are on the same street that he was lived on, and they're headed to where he's at. And he never did anything about it. Now he wants something done. You're still able to help somebody. I'm still able to help somebody. I can still give a faith offering, a grace offering, a love offering. God, which hath begun this work in you, will perform it, the Bible says. I believe that. I believe it. I don't believe you can outgive God. Miss Gibson, I don't know that we ought not to redo that will and that 40 acres that those two houses, the one we live in the little old bitty huts that we got on there where I got all my books stored and stuff like that. I don't know that maybe we ought to tell those girls that God wants them when they don't want it and can't carry on that work and all, be sure. Put some kind of clause rescinding that they don't get it. If God don't get a love offering off the top of it. You ever seen that? I mean, somebody gonna die, they're gonna leave $100,000, $200,000, $1 million worth of property to people that don't even care. They ain't never invested one dime, they ain't got no sweat in it, they got no blood in it at all, but they want it. Yeah, they waiting for you to die so they can just play the conniver or the carnivorous or whatever. And eat your flesh and eat your profits and all of that. Hey, you say, preacher, what you talking about? I've seen them sweet little widows die. And boy, they got smart. They knew them children never would come to visit them at the house. They never would come to visit them in the rest home and all. I mean, hey, I'm just telling you like it is. You say, I don't like to be told that. Well, hey, the devil don't want you to like it. Sure don't. Hey, there's a real hell, folks. And people are going to die and go there. And your children and your grandchildren and, hey, your great-grandchildren. You better pray for them. You better witness to them. You better share the love of Christ with them when you have that opportunity to do so. Hey, that's so sweet. I was thinking about this gal who's going to die in the next few days. One of her favorite cousins. She saw, and this is where some of you need to really listen. Real close. She saw, was it on Facebook, the testimony of that oldest daughter up there in North Carolina that lost her husband? She saw something that you said she shared, a testimony or something. She saw that, and she wasn't saved, but her husband was knocking them millions out in Texas all business. He left Mississippi, a dirt boy, poor as Job's turkey. And he went out to Texas, made big bucks. Now he's just about ready to let his dear wife. Hey, the man's preaching for me today. Just led the husband to the Lord a couple of months ago. Money. Pleasures. All that you could want in this life. Huh? But then you die. Huh? You die, and where's it all going? Huh? Who's going to have it? Are you going to rejoice in the fact that you supported missionaries and that you prayed for missionaries and you gave to missions and you wanted to get that gospel out, Brother Ronnie, at all costs? Hey, what about that? Hey, it's a place of no mercy. It's a place of remembrance. It's a place where there's no exit. But I'll tell you what, there's one thing that's in hell that's going on. It's a place of constant too late praying, Brother Ernest. Too late praying, huh? Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him, that is Lazarus, the rich man that died without Christ, send him to my father's house. I say hell is a place. Number two, and I don't have but three thoughts. Hell has people. Look at this rich man. Huh? God had been good to him. Even though he didn't recognize it. Up in verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. That means God, whether that old boy did not, and he didn't give any credit to God for it. He was getting along fine in life, wasn't he? He was J.C. Huh? Before J.C. got saved here just a few months ago. He was Debbie's cousin, who we'll probably, unless the Lord really smiles long upon us this next week, we could have her funeral this week. Money, they ain't had no problem. Hey, we got a little 40 acres. How much they got? 80? 120? Something like that. He said, preacher, what are you doing with your 40? Well, I'm trying to build that little mission house on it to help some of the missionaries like we've been all these years. To come along and have a place to stay. Guests like you dear folks here. It'll be open to any. It'll be called the Brown Mission and Guest House. I'm going to put a plaque on the side of it. So people will drive up there. They won't know if they're on place or not. Right out in the Bald-Faced Country. There. I'm going to let people come. Hunt with me, Brother Ronnie. Come stay 2 or 3 days. Fellowship. And what have you. Hey, but want to just be a place of help. A place of comfort, a place of encouragement to God's children there. This old boy didn't think about that, did he, when he was living? Now he's in hell. And in hell, he is bankrupt. He couldn't take none of those things I wrote down here in my Bible with him that he had. It came to pass that the beggar died, was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Boy, he had a straight flight. The rich man also died and was buried. They didn't put everything they wanted to in that casket with him like you do down in Louisiana. I never forget. I was going to do a boy's funeral. And he wasn't nothing but a whoremonger. He bragged about having 7 or 8 kids out of wedlock there in the city of Abbeville and the environs there. When he died, somebody slipped up there and put in his casket. I watched them do it. A bottle of beer sat there right by his car. He said, I don't matter how people live and all. Hey, some people are going to have to die that way unless you and I care for them, are concerned about them, care the gospel to them. And it may not be on our doorsteps in Amory, Mississippi, Brother Ronnie. It could be. It should be. That we carry it everywhere, anywhere, Brother Ernest, that we can. Well, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, are you? For it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. Hey, God wants his message to go out. But when it's in heaven, when somebody's going to hell, for that precious soul, it is too late. Hey, I found out about these people in hell like this old boy. He never thought of the poor in his lifetime. We read that in verses 20 and 21. But now, he who was rich looks to the poor man, Lazarus, but to no avail. Isn't that something? Why does a man that have everything have to look to a man that didn't have anything? Because that man who didn't have anything in this life, hallelujah. Hey, he had eternal riches. And he had peace and joy in his soul. And this old boy is sad. He's sorrowful. He's broken. Sin has wrought its work in his heart and life. Be sure your sins will find you out. Playing church will too. I went to the room, to the ICU there in Laurel the other day to see this young man that had done some work for me, about almost 20 years ago. And I went in there to see him. And I stopped. There's a dear lady. She's been a member of First Baptist on the other end of town from where Faith Ministers Baptist Church is at here. And she got to sharing her testimony with me. A member of that church all of those years, 40-some-odd years. I think she said 44, Sister Willistine. Maybe 46, she got saved. She said, I got tired of playing church.
Amen. Praise God.
Tired of playing church. You can be raised in church. You can sing. You can preach. You can pray. I remember one time I brought a message here years ago, and there was a boy up here, I believe it, Bigby. His brother-in-law, was his brother. He was started out here at Trace Road, didn't he? Then wound up at Bigby. And I preached that you could go to school and learn everything there is in your head about Jesus, but miss him in your heart. And he had done that. He learned all about it. I think he went to Tennessee Temple or somewhere. I'm not sure. And he went home. I've seen a number of preachers, Brother Ronnie, get saved. Right out here in the idea of community. But you've got to have conviction. You get all the head facts that you want to. Hey, the sad thing is, that rich man, he's in hell. How much did he know, Brother Ronnie? Huh? How much knowledge did he have of God? Somebody could care for him as him being rich, couldn't he? I've seen some rich men. I know a few rich men that have never let riches take them in their hearts and lives. I've met several people that had nothing, just like this poor rich man did there. Just like Lazarus did. But I've known the opposite. I've known a few rich men like this old boy in hell get saved before they went to that eternal torment. And get saved and then turn around and realize. Carl Hatch did that. Several other men that I know and have met personally through time. I mean, God bless them. Have you ever realized that riches are a gift? I mean, giving's a gift. Now, if God makes a giver out of you, He's got to give you something to give, hadn't He? Now, you may have to give as a poor man, not as a rich man. But if God has made you rich, I'm just wondering about J.C. now. Left her cousin and his wife that's very near eternity. I wonder, now that he's gotten saved, I wonder if Brother Ernest, if he's got it stacked up, piled up, banked up, or how, just taking wheelbarrows. You know, I'm just wondering if he could just so fall in love with Jesus. Hey, I'm glad after I got saved, it didn't take me long. It didn't take me long to realize that I was not my own, that everything that I own. Hey, I say, really, she's a Bard loan. She's a Bard loan. We've been together 55 years. Hallelujah. Still on my honeymoon. I tell her honey every day. I call that. He said, well, I don't use that kind of language, you poor boy. You see that smile? Hey, they love to hear it. Maybe sometimes they just take it for granted, but still they love to hear it. Guarantee, don't they, Brother Ernie? Don't you, Sister Willistine? Good. All right, I got a couple of witnesses with me. All right. Amen, Brother Ronnie. You better be careful, boy. Yeah. Okay. I'm just about at the last thought. Hey, it's time to eat. Amen. Let's go. Look at it. All right, he threw away his comfort for torment in verse 25. But Abraham said, son, remember thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus, evil things. But now, that's Lazarus, is comforted. He's in Abraham's bosom, which is a type or picture of heaven. And thou art tormented. Threw away all the comfort that it could have had. Then last of all, hell has a potential. You say, preacher, you say, what does hell have a potential for? Well, let me read these two verses. Proverbs 27, verse 20, hell and destruction are never full. Never full. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 14, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. I mean, folks, the potential of hell is that it's never full. That means there's plenty of room for anybody that wants to go there, that never has heard the gospel, that has rejected even the gospel. Hell is there. Now, very quickly, I'll give you my sub-points and I'm finished. I said hell has a potential to become bigger. Watch this. Unless someone goes to the lost. I love Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. You say, preacher, I'm going to heaven. You ain't never going to heaven. You won't go to heaven unless you realize one thing, that one day you were lost. God don't save on credit. He saves on purpose. And when God saves on purpose, He only saves those that realize they need to be saved. And before you're saved, Lord, I never forget, I'm in Red Creek game management area. I got my little 20-gauge shotgun. We could only hunt deer with dogs, and so we posted. And I waited to listen to those dogs, Brother Ernest, and I waited, waited, waited. I said, man, them boys done forgot I was out here in the woods. They forgot to come pick me up. I'm going to have to find my way back to the truck or place where they were supposed to be at anyway. So I get to turning around. Brother Ronnie, I was turning around. Sometime when you get in the woods, you start turning around in it, and you're just turning around. You ain't going nowhere because you don't know where you're going. You lost. You lost. When I'm turning around, I'm screaming, I'm hollering, I'm yelling, help me, help me. I'm lost. And finally, I come out of the road, and I see them guys standing there. 50 foot away. Around and around. He said, Richard, why'd you go round and round and round? Because I was lost. I didn't know where I was at. Didn't know where I was going. What about people that die and go to hell? Hey, they got a potential for salvation, but they got a potential to be there in those torments forever and forever and ever. And they will be. Unless somebody sees that hell's after them, but heaven has got to be. They got a group down there, and we experienced a little bit of them last night at the motel when we got in over there, Brother Ronnie. Boy, they had about 50 motorcycles. I just stopped. I said, try to weave your way through there. Through all of that, and then you bump one of them, you have 50 of them on your head. Whew. I don't know if they'd taken over the motel or what. I said, you load your car and what have you. Tomorrow, don't you go back out there, Bunks. We don't know what all they had in them bodies, in their minds. I said, hey, let's stay calm. Make sure the door and got that boat that comes across there, man. Hey, you'll fool around with that crowd. We got a group down there in Laurel, and they call themselves, if you go down that highway, you're going to see a big old sign up. They call themselves Hellfighters. Hellfighters. I want to ask you, how much hell are you fighting? How much hell have you fought? How much hell are you fighting today? How much hell will you be ready to fight? You say, preacher, I can't fight, but maybe you got something in your pocket, in your bank account, that can do some fighting for you. You say, I don't know about that. I'm going to give this to my grandson. Is he a dope head? You think you ought to do that? I'm going to give this to his granddaughter. Is she a flirt? I mean, folks, let's wake up. I'm not talking to somebody that ain't here. I'm talking to y'all. You say, preacher, you're pretty straight. I'm smiling. I'm not mean. I'm just trying to get you to wake up to what I've tried to wake up to every day. I got a responsibility. Three men standing on my porch the other night, if I hadn't prayed for that boy that I went to see, And that woman said, "Hey, 44 years in the church and playing church." And I stood up. I don't know if she's a pianist or not, Sister Willis. Maybe so. I do not know. I'm going to have to get back in there and find out. But she looks out on the congregation and she says this: "I wonder how many people are doing like me, playing church, like I did for all those years." I got to close. Here it is. Hell has a potential. Someone goes to the lost. Someone sends them to the lost. You say, "Preacher, really?" Very quickly in closing, turn with me over to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Paul's going to talk about missionaries. He's going to talk, Brother Ronnie, about pastors. He's going to talk about evangelists. He's going to talk about full-time servants that'll sell out and be willing to move out and go out and let him do out through them. That ain't good English. Do through them and in through them and out of them what he wants done. You say, "Preacher, where's that at?" Here in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, "How then? How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent?" Someone sends them to the lost. And then last of all, someone prays for the lost and labors to go to them. We find that over in Matthew chapter 9, also in the book of Luke. And in another form, we find it in the Gospel of John. But Matthew 9, 37 and 38. "Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers unto his harvest." You asked me a question in Sunday school class. Great question. I appreciate that. I got to praying. I didn't answer that part of the question that you asked me a while ago. But I got to praying. For missionaries. And the Lord, honestly, had those cards, but they were missionary, like the brother left last night. We got to pray for these people, didn't we, Mama? And then I was late one night, and I had the coffee table. She's already been. She told you ladies already, she's got to have 8 hours. If I get five or six, I'm fine. And she's in bed. And I reach over there, and there's about four or five cards, B-I-M-I, up here in Chattanooga, printed them. Why England? Why Germany? Why Belgium? Why France? Papa had been to France. Still got his picture. 1917, 1918, it adorns our living room. And then all the other military guys that have served in everywhere. Missing one picture of Korea. It'll be over 100 years of military service honoring our country and all. But I've got those cards, Brother Ernest, and I flipped through all those others, and I reckon because my papa had been there in France for that year of 1917, 1918, I read that. I had a buddy of mine that was in between World War II time there and Vietnam. He was stationed when America still had troops and bases in France. The very little French girl, Lily was her name. That's a popular French girl's or French lady's name, Lily. And I remember them and all. They're just different people in God's providence, Brother Ernest, in situations, events in my life that had pushed me. And I read that track and I began to tremble. I began to shake, Brother Ronnie. I was troubled in my spirit. And God said, "Son, to my heart, why France? Why France?" I mean, have you ever really been willing to make that commitment, that sacrifice to the Lord, and say, "Well, I was preaching for Brother George years ago. There was two brothers in that church up there at Belmont. They were both, one of them was not a preacher at that time. One of them is. One of them, I think, is still alive preaching over in Alabama. And one of them, I know, he used to be up in Arkansas. I preached a revival for him there. And those boys, Jackie and George, what were their last name? Woods, yeah. That was Jackie and Tony, and brothers there. And it's amazing. Years went by. And was on a Wednesday night. Wednesday, I didn't know what all took place, and I knew a lot of people at the altar. He said, "Hey, by the courtesy of God, been calling me for a long time. And you said, hey, pray with a willing heart. Be willing to be made willing." He said, "I prayed that night." He said, "That night, God called me to preach." What about you? You may not just be able to get by giving money. Pay somebody else to go in your place. He may say, "That ain't enough. You need to get in that place where I want you." It sure ain't where that rich man is it? Sure ain't in hell. If you're not saved, you may be one of them five brothers this morning. You may be lost, hopeless and helpless, unless, as I put in my notes there, you call upon Jesus as a lost sinner. Are you praying? Are you praying? Are you praying? But God, that brother said last night, 60-65% of his support. He needs another 30-40% support. Are you praying, Lord? Could you trust me with a few more dollars? Could you trust me with to pray for that person? And then when you tell me how much, if you want to use a word to be very simple, pay, not give, really what it means. You don't have to. It's on. We saw this morning, Sunday school class, it's if you have the will, the heart, the desire to do so. You trust God for it. That's what faith is simply trusting, right? That's all it is, just trusting. And then walking on your faith, walking on your trust, just doing what he tells you to do in your spirit and your heart. You'll be blessed for that. You'll be blessed for that. Father, we pray as Brother Ronnie comes and Sister Willistine comes and Brother Ernest, Lord, somebody here today needs to be saved. God, I pray that you'd save them. Lord, don't let them die and go to hell. Lord, they got people in their families. There's mission fields, Lord, that they need to reach by giving. And they're debating in their mind and their spirit what they ought to be doing to get the gospel out through giving to missions. Lord, I'm grateful that you let me start by giving. And then you told me to give myself. And Lord God, I'm grateful that I heard from you. I'm grateful that you showed me. Lord, I'm grateful for these last more than 40 years after you took me out of the pastorate and let me go to all these different places. Oh God, what a joy. Lord, it ain't been a burden, it's been a joy. And it's still a joy, Lord, to go anywhere and everywhere you open a door to share the gospel of Christ. Maybe you're calling some young man here to preach, God, to be a missionary, whatever. Lord, you'll show him. You're never in a hurry. But Lord, down deep in his heart of hearts, or in her heart of hearts, they're dealing, dear God, with what you're dealing with them about. And we love you. And Lord, we just pray that you'll keep on dealing. Have your way in this invitation. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you. We'll bless you. And Lord, we're looking forward to pleasing you in our lives. We want to do that. Every one of us that really wants to get closer to you will just say in their minds and their hearts, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Stand with